Relations, respectively, and CFO, Chair of the Board of the Bell, and your team, Ms. Lada, and the team, Choki, Nohoshe. Solomon and your team, see Ms. Kula, see Ms. Doubt, Ms. PMG, Monitor. We're doing this because we have to be four of us. Part of the new rules that any committee meeting that must sit is going to be a third of the members of that specific committee. So a third for us gives us four members. Ms. De Gallo is on his way. A number of members have tendered their apologies. Person out of the budget vote and the branches has taken time off. The minister couldn't make it here out of the branches at the NSC. it was not an easy one. Now we whiling away time by so doing. We whiling away time, and we only have one item for the day. We had to schedule this meeting for today because tomorrow we have been invited to join SCOPA. They are having the department with them. We do have a few apologies. DG has indicated that Mr. Singh is going to be with us, leading us. And then, of course, he's also been joined by the CFO. The Deputy Minister will not be able to attend, as he will be attending still for the consultation. George. Apologies for late submission of presentation. I'd like to confirm receipt of the implementation proof of committee on the 30th of May. That is now from the DG. And Mr. Person is attending to the doctor at this. Mr. Makondo and also Mrs. Mahabana, they have since tendered their apologies. They are attending their respective committees that sit on Tuesdays. Mr. Kwebekulu as well has since tendered his apology. And also from the CEO of the the water board. An indication is given that they only have the full complement, save for three members of the board that couldn't make it. And perhaps we will still get to that point where we get to have an introduction of those that are here. Mr. Tebekulu, as I said, is not with us here today. And perhaps if we can just, whilst waiting for Mr. Carlo, get an indication, or rather, get an indication from the chairperson of the Standing Committee on Public Accounts. The SCOPA has scheduled a follow-up hearing to that held on the 8th of November on the irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure of the department in terms of Standing Rules 206 of the National Assembly. We are invited to attend the hearing and participate in the discussion meeting scheduled tomorrow at B454. Those are the indications of we are stuck. Maybe let's get an indication of who the rest of the team members are from the fellow. Start starting with yourself, in case you forget yourself.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Okay. Myself is Kosi P.K. Chivas, Chairperson of the Fellow of the Board. And my secretary is Mr. Patrick. We have Mr. Sibola. Malambo, board members who are present. Those who are absent is Ms. Zwalo, Mzawa, and Somo.
Welcome, Mr. Makondo. Though we did get your apology that you are attending your other committee that sits on Tuesdays. We do not expect you here, I must say. Okay, thanks, appreciate it, sir. Members, we did receive this, did we?
Yes.
It does give us an indication of who is mentioned. What he does, she does, the background. Sorry, you were to finish off. We were just excited by Mr. Makondo that he has joined us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. On the side of the executive, CE, the report. Zawuru. Mr. Nesi Zawuru. Okay, thank you very much. And we have Mr. Mkombeni. And we have Ms. Valoi. Ms. Valoi. Thank you very much.
I can't find Mr. Valoi here on the list.
It's Ms. Valoi.
Yeah, Ms. Valoi, I cannot find. Okay, no, that's fine. I appreciate it, sir. Okay, Mr. Singh, now that we are four, the meeting is officially declared open. The sole purpose for us is to engage with the annual report of Lepelle Water Board. They couldn't be with us last time expected of them due to the internal processes within the department and themselves. We received the invitation so late, the other one, and pointing this and that finger. We had to reschedule three times now. Firstly, it was meant to be on the 31st of May, and then later it was to be 24th, and then today it is the 30th. Apologies, that was mainly due to an interest from the minister that she wanted to be part of a session with Overbeck, which is still due. And secondly, because of changes of program of parliament, that today we have a scopa tomorrow, which then adjusted our meeting time and day for today. So those are the reasons behind us changing, times and days for sessions with yourselves. Apologies on behalf of the minister. Apologies on behalf of Parliament, on behalf of Parliament and in the form of SCOPA, that we have to be rescheduling for today. So the minister has said, as I said, that she is ill. It is here documented. Mr. Singh, you have the floor. And then we'll take it from there. Thanks.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. Good morning to the board, colleagues. It is our pleasure to present to the Portfolio Committee a briefing on the Lepelle Northern Watch's annual report for 2015-2016. Chairperson, this committee is quite au fait with the work being done by Lepelle. In the course of the briefing, we will be touching on the highlights of the annual report, but we'll also be touching on the emergency interventions to bring water supply to the various communities in Limpopo. What I propose we do, Chairperson, with your permission, we'll take introductory remarks from the board chairperson, Mr. Shivase, and then the CEO, sorry. Mr. Lahodi will lead us into the presentation and we will take questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the committee, Honorable Johnson, Honorable Committee members, Deputy Director General, Mr. Singh, and DC. On behalf of the Lepelle Northern Water, it is my singular honor to present before the Honorable Committee our 2015-2016 annual report. Before we get members through the details, let me profoundly reiterate our commitment to this honorable committee of parliament as a legislative mechanism to hold us to account for the work that we do on its behalf to its constituents. The context of of our commitment is in part informed by the February incident, wherein we could not present this report to present this report to the committee due to number of reasons. I put it on record that we have never set out to willfully undermine the authority of the House over the work that we do. In the same spirit, Honorable Chairperson and members, we would appeal that the reporting arrangements and logistics such as date and time be properly made and adhered to so that we can avoid instances where proper reporting becomes a hassle. In my company, as I've already alluded to, my deputy chairperson, Mr. Kasha, and other board members, as well as the management of the Federation of Water, led by the chief of the group, Mr. Deacon Lofodi. With your permission, chairperson, I will request that Mr. Lofodi take the honorable committee to number through the presentation. As per instruction, the presentation will cover our 2015-2016 annual performance, progress in Biani water and wastewater intervention, as well as water supply status in identified towards the community. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks very much, Chair. And once again, good morning, and good morning to honorable committee members. The presentation I'm going to take you through, the contents thereof are on page 2. It will be the intervention which we are running on behalf of the department in Biani as well as the Landoni Nsami. The water supply interventions in Danen was, these are identified works which came as a result of the petition that was entertained by this committee. It will then be a snapshot on our 2015-16 annual performance report, which covers the overview of financial performance as well as non-financial performance. On the next page, for ease of understanding, we've categorized and prioritized the Mopani intervention in terms of critical short-term emergency, medium long-term, and other project milestones. I find it befitting that I take members down the memory lane in relation to the history of this project before I can talk about the success story so far. Way back in 2009, the district of Mopani was declared a disaster due to acute water shortage and sanitation services in the area. Biani is one of the 5 local municipalities that were hardest hit by this disaster. There were a number of interventions that were taken by the government at the national sphere of government as well as the local, many of which could not succeed. And in this case, the salient one is the Nandoni Nsami pipeline, which was implemented by Mopani District Municipality as an implementing agent on behalf of the Department of Water and Sanitation. This intervention was challenged in the Supreme Court of Appeal in relation to the manner in which the procurement was done, to a point where the service providers who were appointed could not proceed with the work, and the judgment went further to direct the department to take over the work that is being done by Mopani District Municipality. In this very precinct, which is the parliament, around August 2014, the President of the Republic addressed Parliament on a number of issues of national significance. One of those was in relation to when will exactly the community of Biani get water. And the commitment was made that by October 2014, the community of Biani will get water. The commitment made by the President, I must indicate, Chair,
flowed from the understanding that there is work that is being done in terms of the Nandoni Nsami pipeline and other work by the municipality in relation to the boreholes that were there. Following this commitment, there was an imbizo held on site by the national minister, the provincial government, and the local municipality, which is the Mobani District Municipality. The imbizo unearthed still the compounding crisis that was there in relation to the acute shortage of water and sanitation services in the area. I'm going to take members through some of the sentiments shared or the experiences shared by community members with their governments during the imbizo. There was a situation where women were walking a distance to fetch cholera-infested water from the river. Some of them were raped as a result. The local hospital, which is in Kansani, was totally without the water services. Patients could not receive proper treatment as a result. Some were consuming polluted water from the river, brought by their relatives during the visit hours. The newborn babies were discharged without bathing. There was a wanton cholera outbreak in the area. The state of infrastructure, which had been laid way back in 1974, was completely dilapidated. And beyond being dilapidated, it couldn't be extended to cover the community or the village sizes which were sprawling ever since this infrastructure was laid in 1974. The resolution of the imbizo was that Lebele must be directed to, on an emergency basis, come into the space and restore the water and sanitation services in the area, with the major focus on the 55 villages, which are the focus of the intervention. Currently, Chairperson, we are pleased to report that some of the critical short-term milestones for this intervention are that the 16 priority villages ground door documentation is complete, which is the boreholes. In Kansani Hospital, ground door documentation is complete. Yani wastewater 1.5 megaliter per day package plant is complete. The same goes in relation to Yani wastewater treatment works, Morogolo transfer pump station, Kremetat, Kanyisa, Nsami water treatment plant, Nsami water treatment plant, which is new. You have had the one that was refurbished, which was constructed in 1974, and there is a new one in terms of which we provided engineering services to the capacity of 6 megaliter per day, as well as Kremetat high and low reservoirs. We are also working on replacing the pipelines that are delivering water to the communities, and the progress is indicated in there in relation to each of the pipelines. Members would note that the expected or anticipated completion date for this work to be complete is the 30th of June. Most of them are already sitting way above 80% completion. In fact, some are already completed, specifically pipeline C1 and D1. On the next page, we are taking you through the medium to long-term project milestones. And here, specifically, we are giving you a picture of the design's progress, both for the work that will impact on Giani and also for the work that is outside Giani yet still has an impact in ensuring that there is security of water supply in the area. It's Giani village reticulation designs, which are at 100%. BNR plant, the designs are at 100%. I must indicate 100%. When we went into the space, Giani was like a midnight walk in the jungle. We didn't know where to start because there wasn't any design which we could follow. There wasn't any plan which we could follow. Currently, we are able to report that this is what has been done so far, both in terms of the actual construction and the designs, even for the work that we may not perform at the construction level. Nandoni water treatment works upgrade is 100%. Yan Common Reservoir is 100%, as well as the 50 distribution reservoirs. The designs thereof are 100%. The bulk pipeline that I made reference to, which couldn't be performed back then, and as a result whereof the situation has worsened, is currently being implemented by us. The progress is at 30%. Construction, the design is 100%. We anticipate this work to be done by March 2018. This pipeline will be delivering water from Mandoni via the Malamulele area and down to Kiani to augment the supply, because the area normally runs dry, particularly during winter. Namakhali wastewater treatment works, the designs are at 100%. This wastewater treatment works, I must indicate, Chairperson. It has been constructed again in 1974. The area has grown up, and nothing has been done to expand it to commiserate or just to measure up with the demand as a result of the population growth, and as a result, it was spilling over, causing a threat for cholera outbreak in the area. The rating of the Zanin Dam, the designs are at 95%. The new Namitwa Dam, we are almost done at 98%. We are just waiting for the service provider to give us the detailed design so that we are prepared to go out on a tender. Ngambago pipeline, we are also at 100%. So over and above this, we have got 154 boreholes which we have refurbished, which we found existing in the area, but in a dilapidated, non-functional state. These boreholes, by and large, are supplying the 55, some of the 55 villages that I will indicate the site flow with water. Doing that in conjunction with the bulk infrastructure water supply from some water treatment works in the local area. And we're also doing a continued work in relation to operations and maintenance of the infrastructure, particularly the old ones, because we have to make sure that the community gets water as we are laying the new infrastructure, which will be a panacea for continued water supply security in the area. The work that we do for operations and maintenance of the existing lines stretches over a radius distance of not less than 270 kilometers, just to make sure that these 55 villages get water in the interim, as we are working on the pipelines that I'm going to take you through. These pipelines that we are working on, the lifespan is going to be 55 years as compared to the existing infrastructure, whose lifespan was by design limited to 30 years. So on this page where I'm showing you the village breakdown, this one. The number of villages here in total are 55. What we're indicating to members is that all of these villages are receiving water. But I must qualify my statement. The community here still has a difficult access to water, because we have got the infrastructure reaching the old portions of the villages, and the new ones are not covered. Hence the reason why work still has to be done beyond this emergency phase, to make sure that at the end, none of the community members walk a distance of more than 200 meters to go and fetch water. Currently, they have to walk a distance from their new extensions to the old, where the infrastructure is covering them, to fetch water. At least, we're not saying it's well and done, but it's better compared to the history that we found in the area before we could come into the space. So all of these villages, in total they are 55, and they are being fed by the pipelines that you see, pipeline F1, F2, A, B, C, and D. These are the pipelines that we found existing but dilapidated. We are repairing them to make sure that the community can get water, because they cannot stay a day without water. And on the other hand, we are laying the new ones. Once we complete the new ones, and we are just about to, we'll decommission these old ones and commission the new. The next slide shows the water supply interventions in selected wards in Zane, which is ward 24, 25, 27, and 34. The work here has been done by Mobani District Municipality, and it's in relation to number of projects as listed on column A, or the first column. Is Tuos bulk water supply. What we're doing here is upgrading of Tuos treatment works. The design is at 100%, and construction progress is 85%. The reason why I'm saying what we are doing, I'm just talking as a government official. I'm not attached to the municipality. I'm attached to Lebelle Northern North. The Tuos bulk line, the design is still at 10. We haven't started the construction yet. Tawina bulk line is 100%. Construction progress is also at 98%. We are almost done. Lephepane bulk water scheme is 100%. The same goes in relation to Ngambago bulk pipeline. Now I'm done with the project and I'm proceeding to the annual report 2015-16. The first part will be the overview of the financial performance.
That line number to give us an opportunity to the report on the commission. I think maybe I have to open the number. I'm challenging. We have to go and get water.
Lack of training and lack of coordination. You end up spending money and money that you cannot plan, you cannot coordinate. That is an issue which you have got to deal with. You can't have a situation where you have got that very good. Time in front of them, not their water, you are getting water from the canal.
There was some work which the construction was doing, preparing that particular camp. I think they stopped preparing that canal simply because it was under money. And the capacity storage of the summit end compared to that of Medina Tower, I think Medina Tower is five times more than the summit end. And if the construction, that was taking place of the rehabilitation of the canal stopped, we're going to have to do that. Because we cannot fully rely on the old issue of taking water from the land. That might take some time. I think the department must be able to inform. The other issue concerning the work which the construction unit was doing in the rising of Tanini. I want to clarify who is doing this work. Because according to my knowledge, it's the construction unit. If that work has been given to you, then it must be clarified. I think the transport DHS, when they respond to them, they will be sent.
Yeah, you are indeed a specialist.
I've made a living.
Exactly. Dealing with the detail. Mrs. Baker?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just need to be guided a bit on the questions that are asked. Perhaps I'm incorrect. But looking at all the medium to long-term project milestones, I'm querying the fact that the completion dates in all these columns say to be confirmed one contract. I thought there's a timeline for the project and the completion date is that's part of the whole planning process. You don't determine, in my understanding, you don't determine the completion date once you've done your designs. And so now you're shifting the goalposts again. There should be a set timeline for projects and completion date should be a given. And then also the construction progress. In all of these projects, it says funds, construction to commence on confirmation of funds by DWS. So that is also clearing that. Has those funds been allocated? Has it been sourced? Has it been allocated? Is it on, is that DWS National? Is that on part of all these projects on our ACC? And then the service level agreements. Have those been entered into with the municipalities? You know, that's part of the and with between the departments and Lepele Water as well. As the minister indicated that that was going to be done going forward because of the problems with payments and who's paying who and the impact that has on the project and the fact that then the water boards are getting hindered with their work because they're not getting payments from the various sources. Yeah, that's it for me, Chief.
Welcome, Mr. Goddard. Thank you, sir. Mr. Chopper.
Chair, thank you very much. My point, I'm just going to try and follow up from what Honourable Makonde has done. And I think it will come with a... It will come after the Department of Education. This is that story. Can the Chair of the Department of Education tell us about it? What is this that got to license there for the commission to do some work. Maybe you may want to elaborate at this point. I think for me, young tribe is very key in the bigger picture of the access to water for our people. Maybe it will come after the exposure. Because I understand, Chair, that this issue has been there for quite some time, even the province tried to deal with it at some point. That's my understanding. And it's clear that there's no movement. I think we definitely have to find a way to resolve that. I understand the benefit of that water, what it means, it's different than it means if we are doing that. But it goes to planning, obviously. So we can have a bigger picture of what is the plan with regards to access to water and how we provide water. So those are my questions. But with the work done, Chair, so far around this intervention, are you satisfied that we are making an impact? Value for money, I think that's what is quite very key. And how much has been spent so far in that space of the interventions that you have been asked to intervene? Then the rest of the questions will follow, Chair. Thanks, Councillor.
Maybe linked to the ZZ2 story. We went to, on our side, we went to one of those wastewater treatment plants. Can't remember, I think it was in Kiani, if I'm not mistaken. It was a fairly new one. The process takes your water upon treatment to a particular river. Can't remember the name of the river. But the quality of water there, on one hand you have got your own ecosystems to protect it, that water flowing into that river, whatever you find there, that river has to be on a regular basis fed by some water source. But the point we were engaging with the municipality, the mayor also being there, and the department was whether or not we cannot engage with the farmers in that area, ZZ2 included, I would imagine. There are major tomato producers there. You then have a buy-in from the farming community so that you can easily redirect that water. It's effectively your grey water, which can be reused for farming purposes. Because the water that we have in the area there massively is being made use of by the rural farming community. I can imagine even the arrangements that you get to enter into. You know, it says that, you know, they pay this little for that water, which is normally the case to a number of, you know, farming communities. If that water is to be redirected, such that the farmers are able to make use or reuse that water, and having to invest themselves in a particular infrastructure that redirects that water for purposes of irrigation. I don't know what happened to that. I'm just reminded by what Mr. Makonde is raising with regards to ZZ2 having the sole access a massive quantity of water, whilst communities in the area there, and they continue to find themselves, you know, suffering for lack of a better one. Okay, Mr. Gallo, sorry.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Mine is on the board. According to the construction progress here, it is 96%. But when you come to your completion kind of time frame, it is not clear. Because here it is said that the electrification of boreholes is required to be complete the remaining scope of work. So I just want to get a clarity as to who is going to be responsible for this kind of electrification. Because now as it is not clear.
Okay. The Pelabota, if you have anything.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, for the questions. I will deal with the questions responses really in from the department's perspective, and then my colleagues from Lepele will take the questions. The issue of the ZZ2 or the Duet Farm, honorable Chauke. With the report we got from our regional head, provincial head of Limpopo, Mr. Kubata, is that this is a farm which is based in Mujaji's Kloof, which falls within the Olifant Water Management Area, farming with tomatoes and avocados in 1963, and employs approximately 8,000 workers. It receives water from nearby springs at the mountain, which splits into two streams, namely the Kudu and the Claim the Tava stream. Shares the water from the sources with two private farms, namely Westfall Fruit and the Balkans. The investigation was conducted on the ZZ2 Partnership Farm and was observed that the agricultural company does comply with the legislation and ensures that the farms under its management comply with the obstruction requirements. That's the issue on the license. Now, Honorable Makonda, the question was that this farm blocking access or denying access to the other users. And I think probably the correct thing to do would be to have a more in-depth investigation into this. But the reports that we have received doesn't seem to support what Honorable Mokondo is saying. So I'm saying that it is not within my own personal knowledge, because I haven't conducted that investigation myself. But this is a report that we got back from our regional head, Mr. Kubata. So I think that we will have to come back to the committee after we've done a thorough investigation and basically provide a report, because this short report that is in response to a previous committee's question is not actually covering it. So if it is found that this ZZ2 farm is in fact denying the access, then action has to be taken legally and in terms of our legislation to compel them to grant access to the farms. In terms of this response, what was said was that this farm, ZZ2, is owning the farms downstream from the stream, so it's not likely that it could be denying access. But we also have an engagement with the Letaba Water User Association. And what I'm saying, Chairperson, is that the report that was given is not necessarily being verified by myself as the head, and it's just a preliminary short report. I think that what we will have to do is to conduct an in-depth investigation into this matter. That's from the side of the issue of the I can agree with Mr. Makondo that perhaps more attention has to go into the planning and how our resources are directed, and there has to be a greater coordination of the efforts of the department's infrastructure development branch dealing with the infrastructure development and where we use the water bodies as the implementing agent. I think think that those are the two issues I'll cover for now, and then I'll pass over to colleagues from the Fed.
Why don't we allow Lipelle Water to... Okay, thanks.
Thanks very much, Chair. In the bigger scheme of things, this is what is happening in Limpopo in relation to the use of water by agricultural community for their own business, which is farming, and for social consumption. You may be aware that we have got Limpopo Water Master Plan. Part of the objectives it seeks to address is to maintain the water balance for social and economic use. And economic use in this case is with sharp focus on agricultural consumption. Agriculture is one of the biggest water consumers. I think the study made is that they are consuming not less than 64% of the available water in the space. Now, drilling deeper into this consumption, what has been found is that consumption in their case means using as in within the context of an immediate need and having storage. Even if you can't use, but you still have to have the storage. The determination is that if agriculture is to let go at least 10% of the available water, which they are not using, we would be able to address the water problems in Limpopo by 2035. These are the context of the Limpopo Water Master Plan. There is a technical committee established by the Premier wherein we are participating as Lepende. Some of the things they are looking at is exactly this point that I raised. Related to this will be the point that you raised, Jefferson, the interaction you had with the farmers in Giani, whether they can use the water that we discharge in the river. The wastewater cycle is that whatever amount of water that we treat at the wastewater treatment well and finally discharge into the river, the use thereof must still be reallocated. It can't just be an automatic move that after treating, we direct it for consumption by farmers, meaning they should still be licensed to make use of that water. I've had an interaction, as the DDG has hinted, with the acting regional head in Limpopo, and the conviction I got is that they are working on this and they will interface with the relevant unit as headed by the DDG for those farmers to be assisted along those lines. Now, on the Zanin issue, the tankering, we have established the Water Technical Steering Committee in Mobani, and part of the things is to help Zanin municipality to stop this water tankering issue. We received a specific request from the mayor upon his inauguration that we should help him stop this thing. So that Water Technical Committee is reporting to the District IGR Forum, wherein we are participating as Lepende. So the work that I've made mention of in relation to what Mopani District Municipality is doing in Tavina and other areas will to some extent help stop this tankering stories. Over and above that, the local municipality of Zanin is intent on concluding a direct water services supply contract with Lepende so that they do not have to go via the district municipality whenever they need an assistance in relation to the situation they may be having in relation to water supply services. So these are the interventions which, if concluded, we believe we can go a long way in helping the local municipality to stop these water tankering stories. The raising of the Zanin Dam, yes, it was done by the construction unit of the department, but determinations were made in relation to its performance, and the conclusion thereof was that Lebele must take over because the construction unit is delayed. We took over and were happy to announce that by July this year, the work that we are doing in the space would be completed. On the question raised by the Honorable Member Baker on the completion date, the completion date, Honorable Baker, that we are talking about here, to be confirmed upon finalization of the contract, doesn't relate to the work that we have completed in relation to the design. The designs are at 100% completed. This completion date talks to the construction, and we have not yet started the construction in most of this project. So until we run our supply chain management process, appoint, it will be difficult for us to tell when in exact terms will we finalize the construction phase of this project. And we didn't want to come to this Honorable House and tell the day to which we cannot have certainty that they will be the days within which we complete this project. I'm not sure if I'm clear.
Chair, if every project has a timeline, which includes design, construction, everything, there's always a date given for the end of the project. It's not determined as you go along.
You don't have money, you're not sure. If you don't have money, tell us that you don't have money. Therefore, the department must give you money. You've got good plans, but for you to implement them depends on the money. If you don't have money, therefore, there's nothing that will happen. Talk to us. You're in Parliament today. Just share with us. Tell us that, that story. But maybe to come back, Chair, we need to visit that point that the Honorable Sims has just made. The input made by has made detailed interaction with the province shall head. Mr. Sims seems to be lost, only relying on what he has only received. And that for me is a problem. But I think because the issue is more of a political nature, we may want to hear the board expressing itself on the issue of this, and not only the chair, but all members of the board who are here. I would take it that that is one thing that, not even yourself, just to reflect on the politics of that and the use of water by that general. You may want to hear it at the level of the board, because the board, the accounting authority, will definitely diffuse with such matter, and the board will have to pronounce itself. So I will justify why we have appointed members of the board and why we pay you every month you're drawing a salary. For what? Nakona, we're still going to deal with you and you are not the part of saying why we pay salaries every month. We'll deal with that later, but not now. But for now, it's your appointment. I look at the capacity of members who are in this board here. In fact, the Chief Service is not only the law that he specializes with, he even knows oversight, because we started oversight with him in this parliament here many years ago. You know, he's the founder of this values that we talk about. He understands the issues there. So when I talk politics, I'm saying that I'm provoking him, in fact, so that he can then speak, because this issue was dealt with at the provincial level for many years there. The department is not willing to budge. Simple says that the law permits him that can use that water. He says no, but they need to release a certain percentage of that water. But because they have entered into some arrangements, they're not able to break through, because there's some arrangement that is made with that
and to use that old water and clear that there is with the rest of the water. So let's deal with this thing in a manner that when we leave here, this committee of parliament must be able to recommend to parliament, you know, to say these are kind of interventions that require a parliament and government to move in, you know, because the usage of water cannot be so limited for agriculture purposes. When downstream there, and that's the call that you raised, Mr. Chair, downstream there people don't have water. And some farmer there is sitting with the storage of, you know, kiloliters and kiloliters of water that is not even used. Information that is available, they in fact say, it's not because Father Makonde is loving us. I think we'll see him talking to me and later. It's because there's the fact, there's information that has been researched, you know, how if that water can be released, what would be the benefit for the people of that particular country, rather than the route that they've taken. They've already spent almost the 2.2 billion rand in intervention when you have a lot of water. But let's talk politics of water. Who owns this water? Who is in charge of that water? You know, is that water under ZZ in control of ZZ3, ZZ2? If ZZ is in charge and control of water, so why do we talk about water? Why then do we say this department owns water? We're told that the Department of Water and Sanitation owns water. You know, so why, therefore, do we have a situation that someone can just extract directly from the stream, from the river? He just owns the river. You know, this is what we're saying. So Chair, I think we can sit on this thing maybe for just a few minutes, Chair, just to break through. It's not for the first time on the Makonde raises this. When I joined this portfolio, I was attracted by this issue that Honorable Makonde is raising again today. And I thought by now, Mr. Singh, you have really begun to look at this issue on a serious note today, but these members are very much concerned. And the good thing with Honorable Makonde from the Chair is that he comes from that same area there. So he understands this thing in more detail. We passed that in our own way to our guidance there. But they never apply the politics of water as we pass there. We buy tomatoes on the road. They give us old stock of tomatoes, the good tomatoes, they send them overseas. But nonetheless, it's okay. We must get into the bottom of ZZ2 and find a solution. And this meeting today will have to do that. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, you want to continue?
Thanks, Chair. I'll continue with the balance of the questions and then we'll come back to this one. The question raised by Honorable Baker again, the finalization would depend on the availability and confirmation of funds as indicated in the presentation from the DWS as the project owner. I'm not sure if I'm our mandate in respect of the first intervention, which is immediate, was so far limited to us coming up with the detailed design. And we're reporting we are done 100%. The second phase will be the construction phase, and that is dependent on the availability of funds.
Chair, sorry, I'm trying to understand this process. Does the department commission a third party to undertake a project, or to undertake designs and then decides on whether they're going to? Surely, if you decide on a project, you embark on that exercise if you've allocated funding towards it. Because what happens now if you've gone so far, you've gone past the design stage, and suddenly there's no money to proceed with it, which is probably half the problem that we've had, isn't it, with the projects coming to a standstill. And that's why we can't deliver the water that we're supposed to. If you've got to that stage, at which point is the funding supposed to be secured? Before the project, and the design stage is part of the project? It is. In my understanding, the design phase is part of the project. So surely the budget is allocated before the project commences.
It easily would bring us to the issue of Gauteng that we are stuck with. easily. That's the experience that we are going through. There at Swart Rechens, you have a consulting engineer, if I'm not mistaken, that has gone through the design processes. And when you're asking about processes of implementation, today it is going to be Citibank, the other day is going to be what? Mahalis. The other day is going to be construction unit. It is go back to Mahalis in a spate of September to last 2 weeks or so ago. And until today, we still don't have a response, despite the fact that, you know, the department, you know, declared that it shall take the process through. So it's a reflection of bad planning, I must say. It's a reflection of bad planning, because even with the Gatlang, as I said, they were still finding money, whether it was going to be an RP project. It's not clear as yet. And I must also say it goes back to the earlier point you were raising, CFO, whether or not does the department have money to implement this project it just committed itself to. You see, that's a question that we've been always asking as well.
Where is that money? If we have it in our, because nothing stops us to go back to our documents and then call back the APP and then say, annual performance plan, where is that money? Look at that budget, we've been dealing with it last week. The whole week we've been dealing with it throughout, in fact. We have not yet, I know of a 1.5 billion that is outstanding in this contract that we paid. As we move forward, the shortfall of 2.2 billion that we know of. Other than that, Chair, the rest of the money is the thing. You must tell us where this money goes to, and if it speaks to just in the in our budget, where is this money that deals with this project? And I think it will be fine if we can get that information to help us a lot. So what's the use of telling about Chief? There's no money. You only operate on emergencies. You only call upon. When there's an emergency, then you are called in there, and it will not make sense. Let's maybe CFO just take us through that part, so that all of us understand what the point that Chair raises is that when it's money to implement a wonderful process, it's a good plan, what's for. And I think the Pele is doing so well. I mean, beautiful. I mean, for you to arrive at the level where you're a little scared to say you don't have money until I prove you. So I didn't agree with that part. I didn't agree with that
part.
Okay, thank you.
No, thanks, Chair. I think in the department we are faced with a number of competing priorities. There are projects, there are various projects at the planning stage, and there are various processes that go through the planning stage, not only the designs, but your EIEs your, and other issues. So as a department, we prioritize projects for funding once all the requirements for planning stage has been met. But
But coming to this project, yes, we have allocations. It might not be enough, since I said we have a number of competing priorities. But the work is ongoing. As soon as we receive the report from the, our implementing agent, then we sit down in the budget committee and look at all the project that we have and allocate funding. But for this particular one, yes, I do know that we do have money for it. The current work that Lepelenga and Water is doing around Kiani, Mopani, Mandoni, Tani, and so forth. So there is money for it, and we've been paying whatever they've been claimed, and I can confirm that there's nothing outstanding around this project. But the money that we need to clarify after we have received the BOQs or the detailed designs from them is how to allocate the cash flows over the medium-term expenditure framework in terms of how much is needed year one, year two, or for the duration of the project. We haven't sat down to look at that because I think there's not been a formal handing over of these designs to the department. But going back to the Gauteng one, Gauteng, I think it was resolved. The directive was given to Machalis, and the funding was made available.
When did that happen? Can we get a copy of that directive?
I'm saying I will confirm that to the Office of the Director General, but I know the Minister did give authorization for Machalis to continue that work.
Mr. Chapo?
No. You know, to make things easier, Chair, we went to Algeria maybe by 1 o'clock to prepare for funds and construction. Maybe what we should do, Chair, would be to ask the CFO to sort of give us either in writing or in this meeting, Chair, how much has been budgeted for projects like that. This financial year. I understand medium term, how much do you think budget? And then zoom into what project has been budgeted in this meeting today. When we leave here, Parliament has done its oversight work, and members of the board, when they leave here, they know that, in fact, we have so much money, and these are the projects that are being funded by the department. So I'm coming here, spend money, come to Cape Town, eat muffins, coffee, chocolate, you fly back again. It doesn't make sense. And led by the chief, says, well, okay, then it will be a problem, honestly. I think we must agree, Chair. Let it be in that fashion. Let's get that presentation. It's very important. Then when we leave here, when we come to your area of operation, we know these are areas that we're going to hold you accountable for. And members of the board, each one of you, you will speak. For now, I know it's going to be not going to be easy for you to talk. Things are very scattered. And the minute you talk, you create more problems. So let's begin to ground this parliamentary chair. And it can only be grounded when the department that is the one that has appointed you to it becomes easy for you, CFO, because you know there's money there. I see that the CFO has been showing you some slides. They want to see those slides today here before we leave. And we can go out enough from the parliament that represents our people, Makonde, from the area, can stand proud and say, this year, addressing a community, we have put money for the project that is bringing water. That's what we want to do. That's why we do oversight. Oversight must be direct, Mr. Singh. I know it's correct by it, but oversight must be direct, Mr. Singh. And if we do that, definitely, you know, we'll be able to make a difference there. We'll have a government that is really delivering all its promises. you'll find that the projects are promised, the community knows that, that there's no money. So if we can work on that part there, which is, see, and then sort of close it. I think, Chair, one of the good things we have done in this meeting today would be that after this meeting, all of us will be proud that something is happening. When there's a problem, let's zoom into it. If there's no money, let us know that we are given a mandate, but as Honorable Bigger raises the point, we are given a mandate, but you don't have money, and we have confirmed that. So PFO will just deal with that part. That will be okay. By the time we leave here, we know how much billions are coming to you. You know, if it's 2 billion, 3 billion, then we'll be happy. Then the chief, whoever you are, as the head of this board, you'll be relevant. You know, you'll definitely be relevant. For now, I really feel, especially being my former colleague, I feel that you have been set up here. And let's get the truth. And let's get the issue. We're not fighting. I think the spirit is a good spirit. But let's just get to know these issues. From the ANC point of view, if we're the top politics, we're under pressure to deliver. And if we don't deliver, there's a party that is ready to want to take over. So our take is that we're not going to compromise anything. Because we've promised people that we're going to bring water. The president has made a pronouncement that we're going to deliver water. So, Chair, we have to get the residents and where they are.
Welcome, Mr. Boswell. Will Mr. Boswell be responding to all the questions?
No matter, I will also
appreciate. Mrs. Baker was saying you were on sick leave because of the punches in the debate last week.
It wasn't punches. It was a discussion between me and my neighbor.
Okay. Say, sorry.
Sorry, Chair, before you proceed, I just want to understand nicely. I'm not happy with the explanation I've been given, because that's the way I understand the way project management works. That's not it. But further to that, what is the core mandate of our water board? Because we're continuously using our water boards as implementing agents, and as I've heard from other water boards as well, they are having problems, and as we will see as the CEO presents the annual report now, one of their biggest debtors is the department. So we are actually setting up our water boards for failure. Because we are using them as implementing agents, and then we're not paying them for the project that they are and the work that they are implementing. Now, I have a huge problem with that.
Can you respond to all of those questions? As directed by Mr. Connor.
Thanks so much. The other question raised by Ms. Baker, I think the ones we have just posed now, it's on the SLA, whether we've entered into SLA with the PSPs and the DWS, the answer is yes. All our service providers, we do sign service level agreements with them. And when the department appoints us, they do so in writing as well. So that we are held to express terms in terms of everything we do.
Okay.
There was a point raised by Mr. Chauke, whether we are happy or satisfied with the impact, and our answer is a resounding yes. We are happy with the work that we are doing in Miami, and part of the impact is not only the 55 villages which are having access to water as well as the hospital. This project has been able to deliver much needed employment opportunities as follows. 29 interns, we appointed 165 borehole operators, and we created job opportunities for semi to skilled laborers to the tune of 78 people. Not less than 36 local companies have been appointed as subcontractors on this project. So So overall, that is the impact that we are saying we are happy so far about it. Now, there was another question raised in relation to the boreholes by the Honorable Gallo. Eskom, and we are currently engaging it, is going to help us connect these boreholes by the end of June. That will be the targeted overall completion date for this first phase of the emergency intervention. And thanks very much.
CFO, any
questions? In Limpopo alone, we have over 15 projects that we are running in the current year, and the total funding for those projects is just over 900 million. The Giani alone, Mandoni to Tsami, we have about 200 million that we allocated in this financial year. The Giani emergency work, another 200 million that were allocated for that. Then we have other projects within different districts, like Mvembe, Capricorn, Greater Sekhukhune, and Waterberg. But total that we have in the current financial year, that is in our APP, is 900 million. That's over 900 million, 909 million.
Members, that is what we are getting from the department and also from the board, Lipele board. The point is raised by Mrs. Baker about the core mandate of the water board, so that we don't look at it as more of an interventionist implementing agent or an emergency. Why don't we go straight to the main?
I just pull an information from the internal people. It tells you what is the problem. And it even tells you the history of that person. You know, we call that them case, you know? But honestly, maybe it wouldn't happen. Why do we call it set up? Because it used to overflow, because it's important that flow. And the information which the person is giving us, I mean, it gives absolute no hope that the department will act. I even doubt the capacity of the officer to do it. You don't need to be genius to understand the situation that time. Even if you want to do a desktop report, you just pull information from, you'll get that. But I'm not talking about the information that I pulled from. I stayed there. There were farmers who were farming along the canal. They were not getting water because the school has closed the stream up there. They even went to report to the premier of the province, Chief Nome. Indeed.
The board has not spoken on this issue. The CEO has spoken on this issue. The board has not spoken, Chair. Maybe what we should do, Chair, is that maybe allow the board to express, but take a decision, Chair, that we need to get a full report. But that report will have to be followed by an oversight committee. Maybe, Chair, if we're in without, you know, trying to impose this path. But I think it has to be followed by an oversight committee informed by what Honorable Bonde said. But it has been a long time for them. And therefore, we need to sort of unblock. And firstly, we receive a report. Maybe it can be presented in the very same place where we can go and do oversight. I think can begin to do some work, Chair. And then as we get that presentation on site, and then resolve this issue. But maybe the board politically can even express itself and talk on the issue. Chair, I think the CFO has clarified my point, Chair, of the 900 million that has been allocated. We can then get the specific of which projects that have been allocated the 900 million. And I want to thank the CFO for that what's called the information. But so that you then know these are the projects that are going to be funded short term, long term. But thank you very much, Chair. But this issue, Mr. Singh, let's attend it. On a serious note, let's attend it. Honorable Makonde, I don't want him to say something that he's going to say one day, you know. And once he starts to use certain words, people are going to run away again. You know. And I know he's a fighter, Chair, and you don't want to make an angry fighter. Because, you know, he's raising the issue that the community is facing with them. You know, so I think we must switch it to some of the agents and take this up.
Mr. CEO, you want to speak before your board members speak?
Yes, just on that point, Chair.
You do not want to allow your board members to express on the same issue? I can see two of them are ready, very ready.
No, thank you very much, that's my number.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning, Honorable Member. I think on the issue of political violence, the point that I want to raise is the fact that the issue of water and the issue that we're sitting with is not unique only to, you know, the water sector. We have the same challenges with electricity, where you find a mine would have, you know, electrification the whole night through, and the villages surrounding that mine is in total darkness. Now, we have had an opportunity to visit one of the, you know, a lot of the sites that we are discussing today, and we noted with concern the fact that most of the farmers who allegedly own the boreholes have got the relationship that they have with the department. And the fact that they have the right to use or to abstract water and therefore, you know, refuses access to the people around it is a major concern for us. And I think the problem is embedded in the legislation. If people are being given the right to own, whether for water sports, whether for own farming, if it's not properly legislated to make sure that there is some social consciousness or even, you know, some kind of social responsibility for people like that just to know that if they have so much access and so much, you know, excess water in storage, and there are people who do not have even a single drop of water, they have a human responsibility to make sure that there is equal, you know, access and sharing. And I think it is a decision of Parliament, probably. It's a decision that legislators have to look at and say how much Sarafe have given in the past. Because it's a legacy of the past. It's nothing new that people would have, you know, unlimited access for water, even to an extent that it's used for, you know, sports, you know, you have people who really, or water is used for the animals when people don't have water. So we have that, then we get it. And I think if this honorable committee so wishes that as a board we need to engage and do a written submission, which can be further debated at, you know, cabinet level, I'm sure my colleagues will agree that that is something we will let me, you know, deliver this on and make recommendations as to, you know, a new dispensation, because I think for a long time it has just been left as is. The have continue to have, and the majority who do not have access are left, you know, with anger and abject poverty. So I think my colleagues would agree with the board solution. Thank you.
You can go ahead, sir. Okay, no. So thank you very much. Indeed, you know, it's not only deserved. I thought you were giving somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Ms. Patel?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. My name is Emin Patel, I'm a member of the board. Mine is not long. I was just happy with the committee's contribution to the fact that if there's things that are also giving a challenge, the committee's responsibility for oversight, which will guide and give Parliament a way forward to say this is the challenge that the boards are having, water boards are having, and then if there is a need for change to allocate the necessary budget where necessary to make sure that those that are having blockage are unlocked. Then that is what I said. I wanted to just contribute to say that we will actually welcome those if there's any rescheduling or reallocation of budget to an extent where it will satisfy Limpopo as a province, not only this particular project, but all the other projects where there's a challenge. Most of the country is facing a lot of drought, and some of it affects most of the dam capacity and level, but where it's possible for the allocation and projects, and where there's enough budget for that, I think that the board will welcome the decisions and the recommendation and advice of Oversight Committee of Parliament to ensure that the public and the community are actually at a better level. So it's basically a challenge of the climate that we are in and also the situation that we find ourselves in. So it's a combination of all those challenges together. Thank you.
Any other contribution from any other board member?
Good morning, everybody. As the honorable chairperson, I'm the Rodman Sensei, member of the board. As I was saying, good morning, everybody. The chairperson, I'm the Rodman Sensei, member of the board. Chairperson, I would like to agree with the honorable member, Tauteng. If there's an animal or an elephant in the room and it must be removed, now we look whether it must be politically or socially or legally, whatever you do, it must be removed. Now, if the people there don't have water, as we are following, and the problem seems to be there's a tooth, or the problem seems to be the department, whatever the problem might end up with, that needs to be dealt with directly. Otherwise, water boards would be really be placed to be a failure. Now, we need to address this issue. We as the board, I support the request by board member Madam Betta. We as the board have been given time to go and thoroughly deal with this issue and have it investigated to see the legality. I should believe that there's a two or three, whatever it is, might not just have woken up one morning and said, we are taking over this thing. They might have talked with someone, somewhere, somehow, to say, what if we do this? And now, if we as a board were to institute legal proceedings, would be doomed for a failure because of the issue of, do we really have that authority? Are we, who gave them that permit? Under what circumstances? How long? And if we can deal with that, and say the 10% the CEO was talking about is one of the options that can be easily made available. So this needs to be done. And of utmost importance, the issue of the funding by the department. That needs also to be addressed carefully. So that if we fail, you are here to say, we have appointed you, pay you every month, look what you have done. Pay and go home.
I don't think I have to add more issues on what has been deliberated, because that's the truth. Coming to that too, I was not even aware, you know, that the supply to Middle Tower is from that too. I know that too. The dam you are talking about are not yet finished, but as far as I know, nobody is allowed to block the water, because the water, you must block it, but allow it to flow to feed the other communities, even going into the game reserves to feed the animals. You know, I think what the honorable, board member Masipa has mentioned is true. We need to go back home and unpack this and come with a solution to engage more. Why ZZ2 is doing this, I don't think that is right. Thanks.
Thank you very much, sir. There is a report from the program.
You want to conclude on some of the issues, Mr. Khoury?
Yes, I wanted.
No, sir.
I wanted to say, Chair, maybe in the bigger scheme of things, because that tree issue may be a microcosm of what is happening in the broader agricultural sector vis-a-vis the social water consumption. We need to facilitate the promulgation of the National Water Bill, because to some extent there is a principle that is talking about if you can't use the water as a farmer, but you have it in your possession, then release it for social consumption. Use it or lose it. That is in the bigger scheme of things, beyond what the committee is recommending that it has to be done. Thanks.
Okay, Mr. Bosa.
Chairperson, here in Bobby Arms, we had a similar situation where there was no water for the community. And then there was a servitude registered over borehole for the town. But eventually it became a problem. And I wrote a letter to the minister, and the department is busy with expropriation on that property. So that property belongs to the municipality. The department is paying for it, and the municipality is doing the registration of the property. The valuers were there 2 weeks ago. So there are means that you can deal with the matter where the minister can take a decision on it. And I think with ZZ2, I would agree. We don't know what is the agreement between the department and them, but I think there should be negotiations between the board and visit you concerning the matter. And a big company like ZZ2, I really don't believe that they will neglect the community. I really think that they are the biggest farmers in South Africa. I know 7 out of 10 tomatoes that's been produced in the country comes from ZZ2. And they're also Black Empowered, empowerment company, ZZ2. I think there should just be a negotiation with them. And I agree, we don't know what is the agreement, how they got the rights, and discuss that from with them. But in other instances, Chairperson, there is means where the department could act. And then lastly, I would also raise a huge concern on the department putting out projects or giving water boards, appointing them as implementing agents, and no money is made available. And like my colleagues have said, they are just set up for failure. And we cannot allow that, Chairperson. So I think in depth, this is not the only board. There's a lot of these boards. We need to have a serious discussion with the department concerning this. I think maybe it's for another stage. We'll have to discuss this, Chair.
You want to respond, Mr. Singh, especially on the water rights?
The department has a program called water allocation reform. So when we look at the water allocation reform responsibility, it's tied up to the previous entitlement, and we have in 2013 went to cabinet with the policy of use it or lose it, which means that once we have completed our process and we validate and verify the water use, then we'll be able to have more water available to the downstream farmers, to local communities, to informal settlements, etc. But that is part of the process that we're dealing with. The legislation the 1956 Water Act created the concept of riparian rights. That position was replaced in the 1998 Act, but there were clauses that were said that were inserted there that talked about existing lawful use. Now, what Honorable Mokondo and Honorable Chauke and everybody, we're not disputing, and I'm not in a position to dispute or disagree with Honorable Mokondo on the issue of said that. Hence, when I got the report from the provincial head, I myself was surprised about this report. I read it out briefly, but we need to investigate that. It's the department's responsibility to investigate water use, and if there's over abstraction, it's granted, the abstraction permit is basically in terms of the water use license. If there's over abstraction, then that has got to be stopped. So I think that the responsibility falls onto the department. Now on the issue of we're going to have to workshop the committee about, I mean the committee received the presentation from the department about its proposed legislation, but that legislation is going to be developed and come to this committee eventually. But what we can do, or what we have to do, is to take the committee on board with what are the interventions that we can do now in the existing legislative regime whilst we are waiting for the new legislation. And it is a reality that we as a department have not fully implemented the 1998 Act, and now we are amending the legislation again. But, Chairperson, on the issue of the primary mandate of the water boards, the water boards are set up in terms of the Water Services Act.
I had thought you would say the arrangement that is there between the department and the two is as follows. Without having to be generalizing about the entire processes, how they go about, and ultimately, you know, water is here or there. I had thought you would say, this is how
water use license, the water agreement. The staff will all be in there. I think that's quite simple. Well, if it exists, can we have a copy of it? And perhaps an indication of what is being abstracted.
Yeah, I'm sure that is readily available, Mr. Singh.
Chairperson, I think that I, in my understanding of this particular case of ZZ2, I think it's what we call the existing lawful use. It's not a water license in terms of the 1998 legislation. I don't have that with me now, but we'll be happy to provide that to the community, to the committee. We will have to unpack that. And we'll have to look at the abstraction volumes. And if the volumes have created the problem of over-abstraction, then it needs to be stopped. And certainly, it is illegal for anyone to block any access, streams, or et cetera. Then we'll have to take the necessary legal action. I think this ZZ2 caught me off guard because I'm not personally au fait with this particular thing. But we have to pick up on the process and come back to the committee in writing about how we can give that information, the existing lawful use if there's no license, and then what are the interventions that we need to take. Thank you, Chairman.
Are we fine with that approach?
Yes.
Can we say then that we shall have to receive that next week on Wednesday? Fine.
But I think in that line, can we agree that part of, you remember the trip was postponed? You have also done the planning and the journey trip. Can we agree that we must revisit our program and have him visit, even if they are going to give us a lot of time to go there, but just have him visit.
No, that's fine. We shall come back to that when we deal finally with what is to happen in the coming weeks. The period of 2 weeks, which we is 1 week, has been reduced. That's paramount for you. That talks to oversight, so that we don't also disturb Mr. Nguni, who is very, very eagerly awaiting us in Mpumalanga. You want to add anything, Mr. Nkhodi? Can we then go straight to any other issues that relate to finances and the report itself, bearing in mind that we were only dealing with the intervention? Okay. Any last one on intervention? Okay. Mr. Lukhodi or Chief Person?
Thanks very much, Chem. I now take through members of the committee through the annual report 2015-16. As I indicated in my introductory remarks, the part one would be overview of the financial performance. On the second slide, I want to draw members' attention to the last bottom, and we are drawing a comparison between our audited performance outcome for 2014-15 and 15-16. In 14-15, our surplus margin was 59 million, and in 15-16, it increased to 103. On the second slide, our total assets in 2015 was just slightly above 1 billion, and in 2016 we were sitting at 1.3, vis-a-vis our total liability of 187 in 2015, and in 2016 346. The net equity, which is at the bottom, in 2015 was 896, and then in 2015, 896, in 2016, almost a billion. On page 19 is the ratios. The current ratio is 2.4. Our cash and cash equivalent debt at 30 June amounted to 79.9. Return on assets is 12%, talking to our effectiveness in using the investment on assets. Another ratios applicable are indicated there in gross profit margin of 53%, debt to equity 32%, net profit margin of 23%. The slide on page 20, I want to draw your attention to the fact that consistent with the commitment we made in relation to our shareholders' contract, the total employee cost or compensation constitutes not more than 35% of the total operating expenditure, and 65% goes to goods and services. During the year in question and even the years before, we never had irregular expenditure reported. We never had unauthorized expenditure, nor fruitless or wasteful expenditure. Second slide, or the next slide, was already made reference to by the Honorable Baker while we were still discussing other parts of the report. We are indicating the number of the names of our debtors, which is the municipalities and the government, as at, this is the status as at 30 June 2016. And we are also putting a slide here of the amount of money that our employees owed both in 2015 and 2016. In relation to the skills development program that we are having within the organization. We've got an obligation as an entity. I think this is an obligation that cuts across all state organs to upskill or to make sure that on a regular basis our employees improve their skills. So what we do, we give an employee a loan, which if he or she passes, we convert it into another, so that we do not invest fruitlessly or in vain in terms of this skills enhancement program. When employees undergo the study program and they do not succeed, they have to pay us back. The next slide talks to the legal claims flowing from the cases that we have lost with the cost and have successfully won. The first one is the 3.5 plus interest with legal cost. This is in relation to the assets that we lost, and we managed to recover the cost of the value and the cost, and also the 2.7 million in interest in relation to the legal suit that we lost against the Land Claims Commission for the farm, which was a successful subject of a land claim, and it belonged to the family. What the Land Claims Commission did, they only paid us 2.7 of the principal amount and not the interest. So we wanted the interest because had we had this money in the account, it would have attracted a very good interest. So in law, you cannot claim an interest over and above or beyond the total value of the capital amount. We call it into groom principle. On the next page, which is page 24, we're giving you an analysis of matters relating to the audit report. Since 2011 to the financial year in question 15-16, we've been receiving unqualified. This current financial year, we're being audited by the Auditor General. We are yet to receive the audit outcomes. But the matters of emphasis, or the emphasis of matters that have been raised all over the year, was in relation to the collection of revenue by the water board from the municipality. This has been a standing matter of emphasis that we always anticipate with everybody cycle. want to draw your attention to page 27, which is an analysis of the achievement of the strategic orientated goals. In 2014-15, we had achieved 64% of our key performance indicators and not achieved 36. Our apologies, Chair. We are taking it on behalf of the members who are supposed to make sure the right report is distributed. But in 2014, 64% of our key performance indicators were achieved, 2014-15. In 2015-16, we have improved our performance in that we have achieved 79% of our key performance indicators. It may be worth bringing members' attention to the fact that in terms of the current auditor general's performance standard, good performance means not less than 90%. Okay, thanks very much. And then we are giving an explanatory note on the milestones that were not achieved and comments for deviation. On tolerable organizational residual risk, there goes our comments in relation to variation on capital projects. Is the delay in relation to the receipt of money. On the debtor's days is the Mubani old debt. The DWS was an issue before June 2016. Currently they are paying us as compared to the municipalities. The compliance to DWS effluent general standards. We are having municipalities where we are operating their wastewater treatment plants, and they have not confirmed the budget for us to do the necessary upgrade. So this has affected our performance to some extent. And the last slide, Chair, is thank you very much for your audience. I will await questions for any clarity that you may need. Thanks.
Any additions from the board? Risk? Internal audit team? Any member? Is there any member from the internal audit team from the board?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and the honorable members. Yes, the issues that were as outlined in the report by our CE around the project, particularly the payments and so forth. As he alluded that with DWS, we are working towards getting things right together. The municipal matter is something that our chairperson, together with the CE and us as a board, we've been sitting on it since we became board members. And we would like to believe that within a certain period of time, which I would not necessarily put timelines, but the engagement that we had, that the next time we come here, in 12 months or so, we should be having some commitments that those municipalities that currently are affecting our revenue in terms of being debtors and not paying, things that we can actually point and say, now this is the plan. And that involves other parties, including us getting the call it the political representatives amongst others, where I am aware that the chairperson is interacting as well as the premier, to get those people, the mayors in those areas, to come to the party for us to be able to deliver on our mandate. And I think that's one point that I thought I should bring around the issues of what the CEO president mentioned on the report, our annual report, and getting unqualified and so forth. I think that's the point that I wanted to bring across, that we're working very hard on it. Since we joined as a board, it has been something that it has been coming up in all our meetings, including the board meetings, to say how best do we get everyone to come on board so that we can be able to deliver on our mandate. Thank you. Okay, that's the report for you. I saw a hand of Mrs. Baker, Mr. Chauke, and Mr. Makondo.
Chair, in a written response that I received with regards to the water boards owed by municipalities, if LA Northern has got, there was no indications there were no amounts. Can we please have that report by next week as well from the department, with all the indicating all the outstanding debts of all the municipalities owing Lepele Northern, those in arrears and what is coming as well? Thank you.
Mr. Chalkin?
you know that the whip sticks light. But nonetheless, no, Chair, I just want to bring in, to deal with the annual report, part of what I thought the risk would talk about will be to reflect on your current project, not only in the way of dealing with the rent concerns. You'll be making headlines, board members, for good or wrong reasons, and mostly negative news that they've been following you. Maybe now that we're dealing with your annual report, you may want to talk to us about those problems, this negative reporting about the television. If you're not making headlines on City Press, you're making headlines. You may want to talk to us about such matters. What is going on? Because we as Parliament cannot keep quiet when we read about the contractors not being paid, all of these other issues by the bell, issues of mismanagement of public money. We are not going to keep quiet. But we are not going to probe you. It's you to tell us what is happening. If you are appointed to give leadership, you are appointed to deal with issues of service delivery. What are the issues? Tell us why you have this negative report. I know for a fact that there's been a number of investigations. Some of the investigations have been the hawks. They've investigated yourselves. You're not saying anything. Where are the reports? Where are the investigations now? Is there anyone who's been arrested? You need to tell us. These issues are very important for us to know. If there are no investigations, then let it be. But if we know that they are, so you need to share with us. That's why we wanted the board chair and the whole board to be here. And tell us about yourself. Are you getting paid every month? How much are you being paid? And why you have been paid? Why you have been paid? Get salaries every month. And you work once a year or twice a year, I don't know.
And
what is the policy? You need to talk to us. And if it's found that you have been receiving money outside policy, therefore you definitely have to return that money back. We want it back because people in Guyana don't have water and they want that money. So you need to engage on such matters. And I think because the report is one of, I mean, tells you of the leadership that is solid there. Things are very clear on how you run the situation. But there's this cloud, these political issues that you need to clear up. So let's talk about those issues and let's share with us. If you're not prepared to tell us, we'll leave you, but they're going to catch up with you again. They're going to catch with us on the issues, and especially the chair of the board now, because the vice chancellor and with you. I think it's important. I think it's very, very much important just to reflect on such issues, because as you said that we only meet once a year, you know, and when we meet once a year, it means that we will have noted a number of things that are required. But the issues of municipalities that are not paying you, please tell us which ones that are owing you, you know, and name them here in this meeting today, that so-and-so is not paying us. Let's know. Because we have taken a decision as a committee that, Chair, that we are going to invite this municipality to force them to pay. There's so much money that is supposed to be used to pay for, you know, to deal with your CEOs, to deal with your challenges as you discharge your day-to-day work. So issues of investigation, satisfaction of the project, we've dealt with that. And how do you deal with black economic empowerment, which is revolutionary now? And another person will tell you what I mean. You tell you what I mean when I deal with that. How do you deal with that? How do you make sure that the black small contractors, we are empowering them to grow to be at the highest level of the space? So you need to talk to us about such matters, which is supposed to be part of your annual plan. What is your relationship with the Water Research Commission? Because we have a Water Research Commission chair under this department. And maybe you may want to share with us what is your relationship there. But I've already picked up that we have the construction unit that at some point will take over some of their work. What is your relationship with the construction unit of the department? Do you sort of relate? Do you exchange as you identify a project? How do you work with them? Is there a relationship? So for now, Chair, for now, Chair, do you want
to thank you. Thank you.
there has been a letter that has been going viral from these WhatsApp groups. A letter from EFF demanding some payments returned to the president and also to the minister. Clearly, there you could smell a direct interest by EFF on any of your projects. Hence, such demands were made. How does it work? Are they contracted by yourselves or by the department that they write to the president or they write to the minister to a point where that project mustn't close down? That's the essence. I cannot remember what the paper team was that that letter was saying. Sometime late last year. Where is the contract? Is it with the water board? Is it with the main contractor? Is it with the department? Or is it with the president? That and a political organization like EFF will have to be so bold. Clearly, as I repeat, they certainly have a vested interest in any of your projects. I don't know which one, but it has to do with the one at Kiani. You can respond to that one. I just decided, let me just be very straight to the issue without having to be beating about the bush on the specific one.
On this specific one, I would like, because it's an operational matter, I would like to hand it over to to sort of articulate it. Though the contract should not be with the president, it should not be with the the contract between the service providers and the main contractor. That's the relationship that is supposed to be. How the money flows, if the we pay, they need to do what they say, split the money. The main contractor should pay them. However, I would like to the CEO just to convey that in the operational level. For them to go to the minister, to the president, I would not know the reasons. And I think it may be an issue where it's a political matter. But I would like to have the CEO answering on that.
Issues are very straightforward. You are in business.
Yes.
You are not in politics.
We
don't expect you to be political.
Okay. No.
You are dealing here with a very specific issue that talks about a contractual agreement. Here there are projects in the province which you are responsible for, and that's where I'm coming from. I'm not political here. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chair. I will start from the beginning. On the debt owed, we will give that report detailing who owes us and how much as of now, as compared to the status we gave, which is at end of June, last financial year. But safe to indicate that we are owed by Mopani, which is the biggest culprit, and Skukuni, the second. And and related to Mubanu to have Bapala Wora for portion of the very old debt which accrued before Mubanu could be the Water Services Authority. Now, what are we doing to make sure that we collect our money? This is the suite of measures we are taking to at least make sure that we collect our money. In Mubanu, we had to, consistent with our credit control policy, take up legal measures for us to collect the money, because PFMA says we have that obligation to make sure that we collect. So the result of that legal measure is the conclusion of the debt repayment agreement, which spans for a period of 3 years. Since we have signed that contract, they've paid 360 million, I think. I think they're paying 12 million every month. But the catch is here. They are paying for the old debt, and they can't pay for the old and the current account. So as they pay the old, the current is left to accrue, and it becomes old as well. So there needs to be a drastic intervention. And in the last portfolio committee meeting that I attended, I appreciated very much the resolution taken by this committee that perhaps COPTA, this very honorable committee and finance committee may have to sit in one room and see if there can be a drastic intervention in terms of municipalities being assisted to pay for this old debt, or reconfiguration of the grants in such a way that municipalities that are owing can, from Treasury, have their grants directed directly to the water boards that are being owed. That is the resolution that was taken. So in relation to Skukune, we are doing the very same, and the undertaking they made is that they will pay. And if they do not pay, what we normally do, we reduce the water supply to force them to pay. And that's where the politics would come into business, unfortunately, because we'd receive the reaction from the mayor, the premier, and the MEC that please reopen the tap. And our approach has always been where institutions or organs of state are having a dispute or disagreement, it's just bad to have the effects of that dispute suffered by members of the community who are supposed to be served by the very same state. But I believe very well that the measures we are taking will at the end get us to the final resolution of the matter. On the issue of negative reporting, media publicity, I wish I could be having an exact answer as to why we are incessantly in the media space. Any response I may give may amount to speculation, but this is what I would have to say. In the first issue, the matter was in relation to the intervention that has attracted so much attention from law enforcement agencies. The Hawks is one of them, National Treasury, and SIU. We would have expected that since 2015 to date, at least we could have received a report from any one of these institutions that so much got involved into the investigation. But to date, there is none. When we make a follow-up with the Hawks, their response is, so the approach was more effect finding than in-depth investigation. When we follow up with the SIU, because the commitment they made was that by March this year we would have received the report in relation to the investigation telling us where are we at fault and who actually is at fault, because it's not an investigation pointed solely at the bank. March is gone, we haven't received anything. National Treasury, maybe it's yet to come back to us, but nothing so far. The last issue was in relation to non-payments of monies by service provider, I think it's around November, December last year. What we are having here is a situation where the service provider, the main contractor, expects Lebelle to pay public funds with its eyes closed, and that is something we cannot do, because we have got an obligation in terms of the PFMA to make sure that there is an effective management of the public resources. The contract we have concluded with the service provider, in the light of it being an emergency, is that instead of paying them within 30 days, we will do so within 21 days. What happens is that when we receive their invoice, we have to organize our own technical committee, led here by a well-renowned, world-class audit firm, to go on site to verify the amount of work done against the amount of money claimed. That normally would take time and is something we cannot avoid doing, because we have to be sure that we pay for the quality of work done. So the requirements of the service provider were such that we just have to pay upon receipt of the invoice, and that we could not do. As a result, the noise was strewn all over, including the media, that Lebelle and the department are failing to pay them. Had we paid, they would still be not in any way that Lebelle and the department are paying fruitlessly, because we would not have made sure that we take measures to satisfy ourselves that at least there is value for what we are paying. On the other point of black economic empowerment, in terms of the shareholders' compact which we have concluded with the department for series of financial years, 70% of our projects would have to go to the historically disadvantaged entities, and that's what we've been able to achieve. But over and above that, we do have a session where we train potential emerging businesses on how best they can do business with Lebelle, on what actually is the nature of the Lebelle's business and opportunities flowing therefrom. Coming out of this very GIAN intervention, I made mention of the not less than 36 entities, local companies, that managed to benefit out of these projects. Most of them, Chairperson, are the historically disadvantaged, which have got the requisite skills. Then our relationship with the Water Research Commission, we do have our own water research unit, which is interfacing regularly with the Water Research Commission in relation to any possibilities for new technologies which may be used in the space. The construction unit, the situation is a bit different. The relationship between Lebelle with the construction unit has so far been in relation to the work that they failed to do, and as a result, the department would request us to come into the space and remedy the situation. So there isn't any such direct relationship between the two of us. They are on farm leading. The farm that was purchased and subsequently became a subject of a land claim. This farm was purchased way back in 2001. The reason why we purchased it, it was because we had done some geohydrological studies and we found that there is too much water in that farm. We wanted to drill some boreholes and serve the community of Otoko, because it's on your way to Otoko. That is the main reason why we purchased. Fast forward, before we could get into the space and drill, we realized that it is a subject of a land claim. And it being a successful subject of a land claim, we had to let it go and get our capital back. But in getting our capital, we also had to get the interest that had accrued on this money, had it been in our account. So we paid 2.7 million. And we do, when we do the determinations in terms of the interest, they go way above the 2.7 million capital paid. But in terms of the law, you cannot sustain a claim for interest charged above the limit of the capital amount. That is why we want 2.7 times 2. So from Lidl has paid the capital, no, Land Claims Commission has paid 2.7 for the capital amount. They are dreading to pay us the interest because it will be wasteful expense on their part. That's the reason why we finally went to court. And then on the EFF letter going viral in relation to what could be the interest, what I can say, Chairperson, we only have a direct contractual obligation or relationship with the appointed service provider who has subcontracted the work to many other number of entities. In total, I think there are 38. And we haven't got facts in certain terms as to whether EFF is doing business with any of the subcontractors appointed or even the main contractor. But what we are aware of is that, yes, around November, December last year, EFF representatives have been on the ground demanding that there should be payments made. And we also are aware that there is a letter that was sent to the Ministry of Water and Sanitation, the then Minister of Finance, Mr. Boda, and the President, to the effect that the Guyana project should not end and the state should confirm the availability of funding so that the project can continue. So that is where we are in relation. But neither department nor wellness has appointed the EFF nor any company which in our knowledge is linked to the EFF. If there may be a relationship existing between these party or any other entity, maybe that could be between the party and the subcontractor or the main contractor. So let me just generally put it, any other company that is doing well on the and thanks very much.
Mr.
Speaker.
Sorry, Chair. Just an indication of the amount owed by DWS to Lepele. How much is owed? And what impact does that have on future projects as well?
Sorry, Chair, is it in relation to the Guyana project?
No, just
sorry, Chair, just in the report you say DWS is owing as one of the outstanding debtors. That's affecting the performance of the of the board. So I'd like to know how much is owed, over what period is it outstanding, and how is this impacting on future projects?
In relation to the Guyana project, the department has cleared it that, honorable chair, they've been owing us 250-something million. They have since paid, and we have paid the service provider after we were satisfied that the work has been done. The picture is indicated in this report, as I indicated, is that it's as at 30 June 2016. So on other projects, I would request the indulgence of the committee to go and make determinations on whether there could be any outstanding amount owed to Lepele Water Board in relation to other components of the project, other than the one that I've reported on, and then I'll report in writing to the committee, because I don't want to give some fact figures which I'm going to be held to account.
No, thanks for that, Mr. Makonda.
Just a few points here. Do you have do you owe any of your service providers, especially for the professional department?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I can safely say no. I have not received any invoice from any of my service providers, which I have not honored as of now. But what I know is that there is still work that they are doing, they are tying down, and obviously there is an invoice that I'm going to receive. So obviously, until I receive an invoice indicating how much is owed, and I satisfy myself that this is an amount of money that is commensurate to amount of work done, I cannot say there is a debt or liability arising between the bell and the service provider. But what we owe the service provider, it's paid out, but there is still work that may result in us owing the service provider. And the discussions I had with the department to deal for is that they must pay us promptly, but upon us obviously submitting the necessary documentation that they require.
Wow.
So did you agree that they'll pay you?
Yes.
He's an honest person.
We have had a very interesting session, I must say. Very robust, with a very honest, I would believe, responses. And we've had also the board members participating. The issues we are dealing with are very complex, I must say. We started interacting with them 2014 in August. They have been very complex. You've been able to achieve your set targets. It's work in progress in some areas. You had to follow due processes. We are aware as well that you were involved in one other specific program that had to be halted in a court process, which I want to believe you are in a process of restarting. Overall, I must say, you certainly are doing well, looking also at your performance in terms of audit work that has been reflecting unqualified with some findings that you still need to look into. But overall, we needed to engage in this exercise so that we are satisfying ourselves with our oversight responsibility, and also from your side, equally having been able to comply, which is very important. We have a similar situation with Overbeck, which we shall have to conduct in the coming week. I can safely say there, we have a bad situation. I don't even know where to start. But they shall have to come before us. We shall have to insist that the full board complement must come before us, and the executives responsible, including those that have been suspended. I'm here referring specifically to the CFO who has been suspended, together with the acting CFO. So that's where we are, Mr. Singh. I hope you are going to convey correct information in time, that Overbeck must bring its entirety of its full complement of its board together with the executive. There shouldn't be any confusion upon arrival of them here. We have reasons why we are taking this route. We want to correct the situation once and for all going forward. Members, I think we have come to a conclusion of our session. We are certainly meeting tomorrow, dealing with SCOPA. At B454. Next week we shall be dealing with the Overbeck Water Board. This
is then in the absence of any other person having anything to say, we shall then.
Before you start, Chair, I just want to put it to Mr. Singh that this committee loves him very much. The unfortunate part is that he is in the area where he's employed, which is highly controversial, that is correct. And therefore, issues that are raised by members of the committee, don't think them too much. They are meant to begin to open up that agenda of transformation that the Chair has spoken about, that we need to do to transform that can happen to in that line. So we have to work with you to resolve these issues. So I thought it's important that we really do. He's always taking a note, but I think the man now he understands why he's not. Thank you very much.
Members, the meeting is adjourned. Thanks for your time and your attention. Unfortunately, Maria didn't provide any lunch.
We did.